Unless you were camping near El Yunque National Forest or out kayaking on the bioluminescent Mosquito Bay in Vieques, you likely watched Benito Antonio Martinez Ocasio, aka Bad Bunny's, energetic carnival of a Super Bowl halftime show last night. The field at Levi's Stadium in San Francisco was transformed into a MIDI Puerto Rico with power lines under repair, Bad Bunny's signature colorful casita, and rows of sugarcane and island grasses. Here's the mojito with a twist. These bushes were people. Elaborate and heavy leafy green costumes were worn by about 500 people who created pathways and set backdrops for Benito and his energetic dancers. The plant people also caused quite a buzz among viewers in the stadium and at home as they scurried onto and off of the field. Not since Left Shark at Super Bowl 49 have costume participants created such a stir at the big game. Andrew Atheus is a content developer from Philadelphia, and he posted on Threads, "I can finally let the cat out of the bag or the grass. I flew all the way from Philly to be grass in the Bad Bunny Super Bowl halftime show. Ask me anything." I asked, "Do you want to talk with me about it on public radio?" And he did. Andrew Atheus, bienvenidos. Welcome to the roundtable.
I am happy to be here.
When you aren't Super Bowl grass, what do you do? How do you occupy your time?
That's an excellent question. I am a professional side quester, just constantly doing anything my free will allows me to do. I am actually a digital marketer and content creator by trade. It's funny, I was an influencer for this small candy company called Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. You've probably never heard of them.
No, not a sugar person. Yeah. Just kidding.
Yeah, I used to make a whole bunch of music videos and content in my free time just for fun. And that grew into that's a whole story for a whole different day. But yeah, I'm a digital marketer, supposed to be hired for this one company this week. So I'm actually, fingers crossed,
yeah, well,
in the midst of all this fame, I'm getting another letter that I'm getting a new gig that I'm about to start that I'm really excited about.
All right. Tell us about the casting process. How did you find out about this job and end up being a plant at the Super Bowl?
So what I've been telling people is that Bad Bunny called me personally and asked me to be grass on his Super Bowl field. I wish that was the true story.
Right, we all do. We all wish Bad Bunny would call us.
Don't we all? Yeah. Just get a phone call from Benito. there was a casting call in like December or January, like right after they announced Bad Bunny as the halftime show. And I found the application. It's from a company called Backlit, and they've done the last like 10 Super Bowls where they bring, you know, people onto the field as extras. Earlier it used to just be like a concert, like, you know, fans on the field, like as if you were sitting front row.
Mm-hmm.
But lately, in the last, you know, few Super Bowls, they've really allowed the fans to be a part of the show in very creative ways. And the only requirements in the application was that you had to be between 5'7" and 6 foot, which I'm right there in that sweet spot. I'm like barely 5'9", 5'10". And you had to have an athletic build. You had to not be claustrophobic and be okay with wearing a 45-pound costume. That's it. That's all the requirements were. I didn't know I was going to be a grass person until like the second or third rehearsal after I got accepted. So this was all very much a surprise throughout the entire process.
So typically in a, say, a school play, if someone is cast as a tree, it mightn't be the best role, but I imagine being anywhere near the halftime show yesterday was incredibly thrilling.
I mean, I was joking with like my family that I don't care if I have to be like a frog or a tree or grass. Funny how close I actually was to that prediction. Because just like you said, like in third grade, like when they run out of parts, like, oh, you'll be a leaf on the tree that is also somebody else.
Right.
Yeah, no, this was definitely something where I didn't care what it was. The fact that I get to be on the field during the Super Bowl with Benito, you know, he's my close personal friend now. I don't call him Bad Bunny. I call him by first name.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I'm from Philly. Like, I thought the Philadelphia Eagles were going to be playing in the Super Bowl this year as reigning champs, and they're going to go back to back. So I was going to be out here regardless. But turns out the Eagles didn't want to be out here, so I had to be out here on their behalf.
Tell us about the costume. How much could you see? How did you learn to navigate in it? What was the rehearsal and instruction process like?
So this is radio, so your listeners can't see, but like this was all I could see. Like, I have some of the prop with me.
That's amazing. He's holding up a swath of grass right in front of his face. Can't see his face through it.
you'd be surprised how much you can see. Like, it's not much, but still enough that like you can't walk into another grass person.
Oh, God.
That's about as much visibility as I had. But it was like 45 to 50 pounds worth of grass material. It's all fake grass, by the way, not real grass. But the costume and wardrobe team is based out of Atlanta, and they spent months putting this all together and drove it through a snowstorm to California. But the part that I was showing, it's just the arm piece. Like, this is just going on my arm.
Mm-hmm.
There's a shoulder. There's a head backpack that we wear. There's a tunic that we wear. So, like, all together, it's a lot. But wearing it for 10, 15 minutes, no problem. Wearing it for 5 hours, you really start to feel the 45 to 50 pounds that are, like, you know, pushing on your body. But when the adrenaline kicks in that you're on the halftime field, you kind of forget that you've got all this stuff on you. And then, you know, it feels like it's light as a feather or light as a grass blade, I guess.
Sure. How much of the performance could you see, or did you get to watch rehearsing, or did you have to, like, really get a feel for it by streaming it after the fact?
Yeah, I was out here in San Francisco, the Silicon Valley, for 2 weeks doing rehearsals. So there was like 8 rehearsals over the course of those 2 weeks. I still only knew maybe 50% of the show when it was all said and done. Like, Lady Gaga and Ricky Martin didn't know that until like almost the last rehearsal. And I just watched the full show for the first time like maybe an hour or two ago, and as I was watching it, I was like, was I at this show? Like, I don't know anything that's going on, because I'm on one side of the field. Like, I'm near the front in the beginning, so anything that's happening after like the first two songs, I've only heard. I've never gotten to see it, or even experience what's truly happening and all the intricacies. But yeah, I mean, game day, being able to just be there and kind of have the whole thing happen at once. I will say I'm in the front by the house, and I'm to the side of the house. And for all of rehearsal, the people standing in front of the house were just the dancers that weren't in the other parts. So as I'm waddling onto the field, you know, in front of the house, I'm noticing, like, again, I can only see but so much, but like, I'm noticing, I'm like, you know, those dancers that they have look a little more expensive than they used to look. I don't know what there's something was different, but like, again, I didn't pay it any mind because I had a job to do. Had grass.
So through the blades of grass, you're like, that shadow looks like Pedro Pascal.
No,
I think that's Cardi B.
I had no idea that's who was the. I literally am walking past them as they're there, and I'm thinking that it's the dancers because that's who it's been for the last 2 weeks, and it wasn't until, you know, we're on the bus back to to get our cars. That's where, like, did you know Cardi B was out there? I was like, where was Cardi B? Like, she didn't sing. And they were like, yeah, no, Pedro Pascal was there. Cardi B was there. I was like, yeah, probably.
Carol G, Jessica Alba.
Like, watching the show, I'm sure. And they're like, no, they were in front of the house. I'm like, no, because I walked past the house. There was, and then as I'm looking back at the show, I'm like, oh, there's Young Miko, Carol G, Pedro Pascal, and Jessica Alba, and all these people. Just I waddled past in grass, and they probably saw me waddle and were like, oh, they're so cute, they're little grass people. And I paid them no mind.
Some of the camera angles of all of the grass people walking onto this field, rather, and off of the field, it did, you know, perspective make it look like you were little green fuzzy guys, like, running out. It was so cute and funny. And I was sure when you were entering that you were going to dance. Was it hard to primarily stand still with that music pounding near you?
So I've been hearing the set for 2 weeks straight, and even then, you still want to dance. And they told us specifically, like, literally, as for the last 2 weeks, and even, like, getting onto the field, they were like, You are not to move. You are not to dance. You're not to poke your head out. Like, literally, like, we do not want people to know that there's people in the grass suits. But, you know, you've got people in the stands filming us, you know, waddling onto the field. But I just watched the show, and like, minus one or two people that like I noticed their hands, you know, because I knew that they were, you know, friends of mine in those certain locations. Had I not been involved in this, I would have not have known that though
Yeah.
everywhere you saw grass was people.
Yeah. It really looked like set deck once you were in place, for sure.
They did a great job making us really blend in with everything. So like even I was fooled, and I knew I was inside on the joke. But yeah, they told us not to dance, and as I watched the show, I was like, I knew I stood still. I knew I did my job. And then as I'm looking at it, you could see my grass doing little shimmies here and there. I'm like, oh, maybe I wasn't standing still. Maybe my body lost control.
I mean, it's really infectious music,
It's
obviously.
hard. It's hard. I mean, and that's the beauty of Bad Bunny's music, is that even if you don't speak Spanish, you can enjoy the music. And if you do speak Spanish, you enjoy the music even more, and it makes it even harder to, you know, try to control yourself.
Final question. The feeling of the show, the message of the whole performance was unity, community, we are all America. Was a loving and communal vibe part of the whole rehearsal process? Was the team and Benito himself, you know, good leaders in that energy the whole time?
You know, they didn't tell us this, what I'm about to tell you, until like an hour before we went on the field today. And it's that the reason why we were grass, this is coming from Bad Bunny's creative director who put this whole show together. It's like the reason that we were grass is because we were to represent a field of dreams, right? And
Yes.
as you watch the show, it's Bad Bunny bringing us into his culture and bringing us into his hometown in Puerto Rico. I can't, off the top of my head, I can't remember the name of it, but it's supposed to represent that 10 years ago, he was just Benito Antonio Martinez Ocasio bagging groceries at a grocery store. And 10 years later, he's performing at his second Super Bowl and, you know, numerous Grammys out the wazoo, right? And it's just that he recognizes how powerful that is, because he was once that little boy looking at people like Marc Anthony and Selena and all these other great, you know, Latino and Latina artists that inspired him to then become who he is. He knows that there's another Bad Bunny out there somewhere, whether it's in Puerto Rico or New York or somewhere else in America, that's watching him right now, and 10 years, 15, 20 years from now is going to be, you know, doing bigger and better things than he's doing. And being able to just put all that in music and art and visuals and productions, while also introducing the world to Puerto Rican culture, and not only the culture, but the struggles of Puerto Rico. Like, I think a lot of people truly didn't understand that, like, there's beauty in Puerto Rico, but there's also struggles, and that's part of the story of the music that he chose for this. And just being able to put all of that in 15 minutes with music and before a football game and after a football game, like, that's really what this was all about. Plus just the unity and community, like you said. You know, America's in a dark time right now, and we needed a little bit of light to just show us that we are all, you know, whether what island or country you come from, we're all humans on this floating rock in space. And if we're gonna be against each other, then, you know, we're not gonna survive.
Andrew Atheist was one of a community of plant people in Bad Bunny's Super Bowl 60 halftime show last night. You can stream the performance on YouTube. Links to Andrew's socials will be posted along with this conversation at WAMC.org. Thank you so much for heeding the call on Threads, and I really appreciate your time this morning.
I love being here. I definitely need to go to bed and get some
Yeah,
sleep.
and
I'm just
safe trip
fighting off
back
the
to
pills.
Philly. All right. Great to meet you. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Cuidado que la